Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, for your presence. God, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for testimonies. God, we thank you for healing. Lord, we thank you for miracles. God, I pray that not one person would leave this house today without receiving all that they have, all that you have for them today, God. Lord, I pray that you would find us trustworthy to handle what you've put in our hands. God, make us faithful stewards of your anointing. Make us faithful stewards of your promises, God. And we will be careful to give you all honor and all praise and all glory because you were faithful then and you're faithful now. In Jesus' name, amen.
The struggle's real. It's real. And God's faithful. But a lot of people only show you the highlights. You don't get to see the lowlights all the time. Social media is a wonderful thing, but it's also a facade where you see people at some of their greatest moments, but what it took to actually get them there. And listen, let's just be honest. What's behind the mask is what God is trying to get at. That's what God's trying to get at. And the struggle is real. Anybody who tells you the struggle is not real is not walking really with the Lord. Because first and foremost, we understand that we're struggling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and their spiritual wickedness that we're fighting in heavenly places. The struggle is real. That's why some of the things that we do, we feel like there are unseen forces that are driving it. And there are. Have you ever said to yourself, there are things behind it that are driving things right now. So no matter how you try to reason it or rationalize it or try to like shush it away, there are things that are causing certain things to happen in this life right now and in your life. And if you're not aware of that and you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit and understand the importance of emotional health, it will take your head right off and it will cause you to move away from God rather than to push into God. And honestly, in here, it is easy sometimes to go away from God. Easy. Because when you say, I'm a Christian, and you say that I believe in Jesus, you open yourself up now to the push and pull that comes with that. And your faith is on the line. And when push comes to shove, and when you are tested in areas that are far beyond your ability to be able to handle the test, your mind will have a tendency to tell you that it's not worth it. But you have to go and supersede what your mind is telling you and what the Spirit of God is telling you, that it is worth it if you do the hard thing and push through. Faith without works is dead. What does that mean? You can shout faith all day. But until you actually live something and you actually have to operate in a world of faith and not only speak it, but actually do what you believe, then it becomes true in reality in your life. Because Christians in name only, it's not what God's looking for. It's not. And I'm telling you this on this level, so as we go through the rest of the message, you understand where I'm going with this. That being vulnerable with God is important because he already understands your vulnerability. He understands your weakness. And I'm not discounting the struggle. You made it this far because you struggled. Right? Right? You met because you struggled. So, and you're still struggling now. But you made it this far because you struggled. And some of you might say, I'm tired of the struggle. You're just getting started. You're just getting started. But you have a God who lives inside of you who's given you the strength to struggle with you. And the struggle is worth it if we can pick ourselves back up and continue to move on. I'm not saying you're not going to have days where I just can't do it. There are days you probably can't do it in your own strength, but you got to pick yourself back up. You got to do it again. That's part of struggling. It's part of struggling. I don't want to get out of the car because I'm walking in fear. The victory is I'm opening the door and I'm getting out of the car and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Guess what? Victory. I'm teaching myself that my faith is more important than what I'm feeling right now. I don't want to go to practice again. But when I go to practice, I teach myself that, you know what, this is beneficial to me because practice makes permanent. And so every time I do it, it becomes part of who I am. And so next time I do the routine, I'm going to nail it because I'm practicing. When you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, it is with fear and trembling. The more you do it, the better you get at it. The more you whip something,
the better you feel about your God. The more you are elevating into a position of leadership, of influence, the more you realize that there is a God who's for you and has gotten you to the point where you are and has elevated you to that point and position. Because if God wasn't with me then, there's no way I'd be here now. So I don't care if you can't get out of the car or if you are in a position of elevation. God's the same person who's in the car, and he's the same person at the point of elevation. You just have to determine where you want to be. So if you're in the car and you're saying to yourself, I can't do it, it's over, look at the God who has someone else elevated and say, no, no way. If God can elevate that person and free them, then that he can do the same thing for me. And so take your eyes off where you are to where you want to be. And stop looking at things as they are and say, well, that's just the way it is. No, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I may not see it with a natural eye, but guess what? In my spiritual eye, I see it. Even though it's faint, I see it. And if you can see it just a little bit, it'll give you the strength that you need to keep walking. And this is the type of God that you serve who shows you a little bit. Why? Because he knows that if you just see a little bit of his glory, you're going to go close. If you just see a little bit of his faithfulness, it'll tug you this way. If you just see a little bit of his goodness, you'll open up a little bit more. But you have to be willing to be open and vulnerable for him to be able to access those places that you're not winning in. You're not winning. And let's be honest. We all say we want to win, right? I want to win. But we're not winning in certain areas. But if we get to the point where we give God access to say, God, I want to start to win, guess what? God will give you the tools to get you to start to win. There are certain teams that you know, no matter how hard they try, they're not winning today. That's just the way it is. You can shout all you want. You can paint your body. You can do a hex on the other team to try to get them not to come out of the... You can do all that stuff. You can shout, but they're just not winning today because no matter what, they just don't have the personnel and their attitude is not like the other team. They don't know how to win yet. It doesn't mean they won't get there, but it's not their time. And this is what God did for you as he took you from where you were and brought you to where you are now. He's teaching you how to win. You're getting there. You're getting there. Because we know that he already sits victorious. We already got the victory. We got it. Yeah, that's one thing. We got it in Jesus' name. But now you got to walk it out and actually fight for it. And that becomes a little bit different because it's now a mentality thing for people. And they have to choose in themselves that I'm going to do everything that I can to get victory in my life no matter what it costs. Because that's why it's important. Not that I'm afraid of failure because failure has a way of teaching me things. And we know that there's no failure in God, but I have to understand how to win. Don't you think that the Israelites had to understand who God was when they came out of Egypt going into the promised land? They had to get a glimpse of who God was. God had to wreck the mentality that they had, that Egyptian mentality, tear that down and give them a new nature and a new mind to be able to think about who he was. They had to learn how to win. And if you realize, most of them didn't enter in because of their mindset. And God has to teach us. Okay, it would have been easier, right, if they went into the promised land and there were no enemies to fight. God said, you got the land, it's yours. Just walk right in. See that grape, it's yours. Put it on your shoulder and let's go. You see that honey? You see that milk? That's yours. Just take it. And it would have been great for them to walk into paradise. But God didn't do it that way. They had to learn how to win. And they had to drive out enemies from all sides. And if you look at all the enemies they had to drive out, it wasn't a small list. And we think that God's just going to all of a sudden just dump it on us and say, hey, there's the land, it's yours, there's no one in it. There are inhabitants in your land right now. And one of those inhabitants is your mindset. I can't because of this. And God said, we got to change all that. Because with me, you can. It's a mindset thing. And if I'm expecting that there's going to be no trouble or that there shouldn't be any trouble, I'm thinking wrong. Because there's an enemy that's out there who is fighting me at every angle. You don't think that he's fighting you at every angle? There is a fierceness that is taking place in the spirit right now. If you can sense it. He's fighting mindsets. He's fighting emotional health. Identity. Trying to break chains off people. You don't think that he likes people chained? He gets glory when people are chained. But when you get loosed and you're free, God gets the glory. And so there's this tug that's going back and forth right now. Who's going to get the glory? And the enemy's fighting hard to try to keep you bound. And God's saying, but I've already set you free. Let's stay loose. And so you got this fight going on and there's this tug of war, but you have to choose this day who you're going to serve. I'm either going to serve Jesus because I love freedom, or I'm going to stay bound because it's comfortable here. And God said, I'm not going to let you stay bound and stay comfortable because it's for freedom that I set you free. That's why I set you free. I want you to be free. And so that is a temptation for you. That mindset is a temptation for you. I'm trying to help you deal with so that you come back and know that I've already freed you. Your land is here for your possession and for your taking. It's there. Now, you're going to have to fight with some of the weapons that I've given you. No, yes, fight with those weapons. The weapons that are not carnal, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. That means I have to cast down some imaginations, some things that I'm thinking about that are not even God. They're not even godlike. Cast down some things, strongholds, things that I'm believing in or I'm hiding in because it's going to give me some sort of protection from the world. There is none. There is none. What is so disturbing is that we're walking around in this season trying to fight off a disease that inevitably is going to take some and leave some. But we're trying to stave it off. At every angle, as much as we can do, we're trying to make sure that we don't catch anything. And in doing that, you are shackling yourself because you're not experiencing life. And fear is winning. And this is a real issue right now. It's winning. And I'm not discounting the severity of stuff, but since when did God call you to live in fear? And God called you to live in bondage just because of you're afraid of what's going to happen. You have been given a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. You can rise up, cast out imaginations because it's in your mind, and begin to walk. I had COVID. I got jacked up, but here I am. And even if I didn't make it, I know where I'd be. But I'd rather live that way then live the other way, because when I live the other way, I'm more vulnerable for attack. Come on now. Come on. When I live other way, anytime I try to stop something from happening, guess what? Usually, it happens. When I try to control something, usually, it's out of my control. So we have to have a right mindset that says, I'm going to live no matter what. I'm going to live. Because it's more important for me to live than to walk around in fear. And there's a real spirit of fear that's going on around. God wants to break. He wants to break it. Break that fear. And guess who he wants to use to break it? You. You. Well, what does that mean? I need you to be free so that you can go out. Be one of my agents. So when I go to my next door neighbor and I tell him that Jesus loves him and that he's got a plan for his life, I'm not afraid of the response and the repercussion because I know that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I don't care if he's Catholic, he's Buddhist, he's Hindu. It doesn't matter. Jesus already died for me. And I'm telling you in the name of Jesus that he wants your life and he has a plan for you. And you can say it in boldness just because the opportunity's there. See, if I'm not free, I can't do that because I'm concerned about my life. And what we have is people taking their life into their own hands and trying to get it all fixed and fix it and make sure that nothing comes in. But you know what? The more you do that, guess what? There's another hole that pops up because you can't stop up everything in your life from getting in. It's not living. It's dying. It's dying. And before you know it, you start to regress in a pattern psychologically, emotionally, mentally, physically. You don't think so? Look at some of the people you know right now who have gone this way. This way. How you doing? You're in a totally different place than they are. Which place would you want to be at? I'll take my place. Because I know the struggle in this place, but at least I'm free here. I'll deal with the struggle and the freedom. I'm not dealing with the struggle and the bondage. Sorry. I'm not dealing with that. I'm trying to work out my own salvation. I'm trying to be a character witness. I'm trying for people to look at me to say, there's something different about that person. What does that person have? Jesus. Isn't that what made the disciples so attractive? Was that when the leaders came to them and they said, man, we're looking at these guys and they are not educated. They are not trained. But one thing we do see, they've been with Jesus. And that's all they needed. So who you hanging with lately? Who you hanging with? Because we become who we hang with. Oh, we do. Why do you think gangs are so popular? They gave me a home. I felt welcome. And all of a sudden, little Bobby becomes Bobby. Teardrop, chains. Because he's now welcomed and he belongs somewhere now. He finds identity now. He belongs there now. And so now he's becoming like who he runs with. And so who are you running with? Because who you run with has more an effect on how you think. It does. Let's take a look at the book. Put it up there, Philippians chapter 2. Verse 3, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus did, or he had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. In verse 7, instead he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. God said, I'm going to show you how it is to really live. I'm going to lay aside my deity, and I'm going to become like you. Now, we know when he was born, he was fully God, but fully man. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to do it. He was fully God and fully man, and that he lived a sinless life so that he can now intercede for me because he's now qualified, because he paid the price. He sacrificed. His blood was sufficient. I now have a relationship with Jesus Christ because of the sacrifice that he did. Praise God that now I can come boldly before the throne of grace, receive mercy, obtain grace in my time. All that stuff because of what Jesus did. I'm excited about that. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I'm going to show you how to live. Esteem others better than you. I'm not saying being bound by others. Hear what I said? I didn't say be bound by others. I said esteem others higher than yourselves. Put other people before you. Because that's how I showed you how to live. And when you do that, you're like Christ. When I live for myself, because this is the lie, if I protect myself, that means I'll protect my life. But what we do is, in doing that, we're actually losing our life. Nobody's talking about not having wisdom. We're talking about self-preservation because we fear for our life. A life that is not even your own. A life that you did not create. That God said, I created. And now I have a plan and purpose for your life. And I gave my life for your life. And so come back and give your life back to me. I'm telling you, if you're in here and you're having a tendency and you're fighting yourself because you feel yourself going this way, you need to fling back open. And you know what that looks like for you. Remember last week we talked about introvert versus extrovert. And we talked about, well, I just the way I am. No, that's the way you recharge. That's the way you recharge. So if you find yourself going this way and in the cocoon state of comfortability where you're nest in your own thought process because it's comfortable, you need to open yourself up and get yourself back in line with God and do what he's called you to do. Why do you think there's a fight against isolation right now? Because of the freedom, the joy, the peace, the healing, all that that comes with socialization. Isolation kills. Socialization has a way to heal. I'm just not very social. You need to be. That's why we do community groups. That's why we do Fit Camp. That's socialize, smile. Let's see the teeth. Let's see how your hair is growing. Whatever. Let's see it all. Okay? Let's see how you're developing. Socialize. Open up. Because there's a degree of vulnerability that happens there that does not happen when you're isolated. Because you have nowhere to share that with. You're just being vulnerable with yourself. And you're not very, come on now. You're not very fair to yourself. You don't push yourself like you should. Most people don't. That's why we do what we do. Do you know one of the biggest groups we have right now is the Emotionally Healthy Leader Group in this church. It's growing. Growing. Because people recognize the need. I'm not healthy. There's something inside of me that says, I got to get better. Why? Because you know in yourself what cripples you and what saddles you. Oftentimes, it's sucking on the past and how we were, and we can't get out of that mentality. And God's calling you to grow up. And there's a tug. I want you to grow up. And there's that one tug that says, that nature says, now I want you to stay a kid. And you're wah-wahing, but God said, no, I want you to win. But listen, God said, it's time. Thumb out of the mouth. Move this way. But it's comfortable for me here. But it's not productive. It's not productive. So if the body is his, and the body's supposed to be built up, read Ephesians 4, we should be strong. Sharon, we should be strong, correct? Because we know that in him is all sufficiency. He's strong. We know that he is. But the body, if we're not all doing our part, we're not as strong as we can be. And why does the body have to suffer, the body of Christ, when it should be the most, I believe, powerful force on the earth? But why don't people flock to it? Why don't people want to get in on it? Because it requires something. And you might have been there. You had an issue with it. But then you realize, oh, wait, this is the best for me. If I just slip over into this, my life is totally changed now because of what Jesus did. My before and my after, I wouldn't trade anything now for my life because of what God did. I am a totally different person than when I was, and I like this person. And so my before and my after, look at your before and after. You know the old before and afters that people take, you know, when like you had extra things on you, let's put it nicely. And then after you're working out, you look in the mirror and you're like, man, look what I did. Look what it's just a transformation. Look at your before and after spiritually. What would you want? I'll tell you what, when I was a kid, I was ugly. I looked at myself and I'm like, man, that's Misty. I'm like, I don't know what happened. I like this guy better than that kid. I'll be honest with you. I'm just being vulnerable today, right? So I'm looking at myself. I'm like, I don't know what happened. I had like teeth. My hair was all over the place. I like braces. I'm like, man, you. I grew. I got better looking as I grew. Same process with God. As you grow with him, the more attractive you become. Because of the fragrance of Jesus Christ. But you got to be willing to grow out of some stages, right? You got to grow out of the headgear stage, which I had. You got to be willing to grow out of all those stages. You got to grow out of the PlayStation stage at 30. All that stuff's got to go. Yeah, I'm wording you. All that stuff's got to go. You got to grow out all that stuff. That stuff that you look at, that's childish. All that stuff that holds you, you got to be able to grow up out of that stuff. Why? Because your life's now hidden. You got a new life in Christ. So I got to grow up, the Bible says, in all things. So the way I grow up, first of all, is I have to be connected with Him. Second, I have to now get around community because there are people in there that God's going to use to spur me on to good works. That's why what we do is important because there's value in it. Ask people who have been affected just by being around community how their life has elevated because people have been pushed in places they never thought they could be pushed at by themselves. Because transformation happens in circles, not rows. So all of that is part of the process that God is using. No matter how uncomfortable it might be, you got to be willing to do that. I think of people in here right now who just, hey, I'm out, and I just want to be part of what God's doing, but how to get over themselves in order to start get better. So when we talk about this idea of mentorship, because this is what we're talking about a little bit today, it doesn't have to be weird. More is caught than taught. So when you get around other people who have similar DNAs or you're attracted to certain people because of that certain DNA, you're catching things that are vital for you, like vitamins. Gosh, it's popping it in. And it can be doing something to you physically, emotionally, financially, all that stuff. But you got to be open to this idea of what that looks like for you. It's not easy to come to a new church because people have these preconceived ideas of what church is like. It's not easy to church plant. Because people have a conception of what a startup should look like, and if it doesn't agree with their values, they have to go. Because if they are not comfortable with being pushed, and they want something that's seeker-friendly so they can hide, they won't last. Because church plants are different. If you want to be around people who are going to push you, there are a few things that you have to realize. Number one is you got to be led. You got to be led. You want to grow in certain areas, you got to be led. It's not like a dating game when it comes to mentorship. It's like, hey, all right, I'm going to ask him. So, like, I don't know what you were thinking about it. Maybe I saw something between me and you. Maybe there was. Maybe there wasn't. But, do you want to maybe, like, go out and mentor each other or something? But that's not what mentorship, like, is. Okay? It's like over, is that cool? Like, we share some ideas about life, God. I mean, what you believe about the second coming and all that stuff. Is that cool? Cool. So call me. Cool. That's not mentorship. Okay. That's not how you invite someone into a mentorship program. It's not dating. It's not being awkward and weird. It's just, you know how it is. There are certain people that, man, there's something about that person. I like, go where they're at. Don't stalk them. And then come up behind them and tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, I've been waiting to talk to you. I've been waiting to talk to you, man. I'm all day. You have my eyes. You have my attention. You're looking at them. I tell you, I've been really looking at you, and I like what I see. That doesn't work that way, okay? Be led by the Spirit of God because there are some relationships you should not get in. Hold on. Just because it looks good doesn't mean it is good. Just because someone's gifted doesn't mean you should go unwrap the gift. Because when you open the gift, you'll be surprised at what's happening on the inside. That's not what the outside saw me, but that's not what you're supposed to be looking at. And so we got to be careful in how we do this and what God is leading us to do. If God's leading you to do it. But if He's not, don't. And don't do it on purpose. I just feel like I need somebody in my life. And we do that. I need somebody in my life. I need a mentor. We walk around like, where are they? Someone's going to tell me what to do. And what? I don't know what to do. Are you a Christian? Yeah. Is the Holy Spirit living inside of you? Yeah. What's He leading you to do? I don't know. Someone's got to tell me. Counselor, what's he saying? Sometimes it's pressed into me. I'll give you what you need. And then you realize, oh, I really don't need that. Sorry. We have a lot of sorries going on. Because we use people to do things that only the Holy Spirit can do. And we realize after the fact, ooh, sorry about that. That was my bad. But at the same time, if you'll just off the bat know that there's no one who can satisfy you and fill you like the Holy Spirit can. There's no one who can do it. So if you're looking for someone to do that, you are looking in the wrong. There's no one here who can do that. No one. The only one who can do that is the Holy Spirit. You want elevation? Guess who's going to do that? He's going to do it. And he's going to bring the people around you that are going to help you get there. Not so that you can have a hold fest or where you guys are holding each other back. That's not God. And that's not health. Because true mentorship involves empowerment. I'm empowering people. I want you to get better. I don't need you to need me. You hear that? I don't need you to need me in order for me to get better. I like what I see. I just like what I'm catching. And I feel good in that atmosphere. That's cool. If I can just catch from you for a little bit, I'll be cool. I'm not trying to need you and suck the life out of you. And if you feel yourself in a position where you feel like I'm too much in this person's business, it's probably the Holy Spirit telling you, back off. You're too cerebral here. It's too cerebral. You're trying to get ideas from someone that only come from me. And if we'll stop looking at everybody else and start looking at God, God will show you some things that will help alleviate the stress that we're under as far as I got to be around people all the time. It's just not God. You know what a good counselor will do? And Maria is one of these things. They'll let you come to the conclusions yourself, help guide you there, and say, okay, now how do you feel? What do you need to do with that? And a Christian one will point you over to Christ, say, okay, let's take that to the Lord and find out what God wants you to do. I don't need you to continue to come back to me because I feel like I need to be needed. That's not a good Christian counselor. Your job is to spur one another on to good works. And so when you get around people or in community groups, is one, I'm spurring one another on to good works. I'm lifting up Jesus and I'm pushing people toward Jesus, not toward me. I'm not trying to push people toward me. Come follow me. Follow me. I'll make you a fisher of men. No, I won't. Jesus will. I'm going to help you. I'll help you catch some things in your life. Maybe catch some things for me. I can't do what the Holy Spirit can do. It will stop being God. He'll do it. And sometimes it's a matter of you just sitting on the sidelines and watching people do what they do. And then when the Lord leads you, just to speak a word in there. That's about it. Because if you mess with God's process, it's difficult. Because then God starts to mess with a little bit of your process. This is not a very good morale message. This is not a very good social group community message because we all need one another. All you need is love. And there are a lot of things and the world needs us. And there are people who need us. Yeah, they need Jesus. Yeah. But God wants to send a free you. One of the things about this semester and this idea of play free came up because I believe God's heart is for people to walk in freedom, his own people, so that his own people can now go out and be the light in a world and not let the dark overtake them because they're not free. Do you know if there are areas in your life that are not submitted, it can be easier for darkness to penetrate those areas. So if God's doing a work in your life and trying to get you free, it's for a reason. Because God wants to send you out and not bind you up again. Do you know that's why God separates people in relationships? Do you know why? Because now they're too connected and they're not free anymore. They're not free. They're now bound up. And God said, this is not healthy for you. I need to get you away from each other. No matter how hard it is, he does it for a reason.
empower. It's important. Third thing, be intentional. Be intentional. If there are certain things you do every single day, and there are, for most people, they're spending time in the Word, they're getting lifted up, they're taking care of their body physically, they're doing what they're going to be. Be intentional. Be intentional about your growth. It's just going to happen. Not as much as it should if you're intentional. So find other people who are doing it better than you and get around them. And you'll find yourself elevate, because when you walk with the wise, guess what? You become wise. When you walk with fools, guess what? You become a fool. You be around some people who are wise, you start to think differently. Next time you see it, like, yeah, you're right. That's not the way it really looks, is it? Nope. Because you're around someone who's got the right spirit and you're seeing it right. Holy Spirit's checking you and saying, yeah, what they're saying is cool. You got a little confirmation. That's fine. Be around people who are doing it right. Catch it and go. Catch and release, man, in a good way. But you got to be led. You got to empower people. And you got to be intentional. And I just, let me just help you and warn you on different things. I feel this is important. You got to be careful what you're feeding yourself. I'm telling you, be careful what you're feeding yourself. I'm all for people speaking into your life. But the only person who could speak and check you on certain things correctly is the Holy Spirit. That's it. So if things are being spoken into you and you're around people and there are certain things that are off that you're feeling, it's probably there for a reason. It's not a license to pursue. I don't feel real good about this, but let's do life. It's there for a reason. And you can probably think even in your own life, the times that he checked you on some stuff. And you say, you know what? Later on, you found out. Thank you, Lord, for checking me. It's a reason why the Bible says, test the spirit. Spirits. The spirit behind what's being spoken. Things that are being said. So that you don't get duped and deceived. Because when you're a baby, you just believe what mom's telling you. You believe what dad's telling you. But guess what? As you grow older, your ability to be able to reason changes and you begin to think for yourself. And then you begin to say to yourself, you know what? I see what you're saying. I don't agree with that. Remember the first time you disagreed with your parents? Or how that worked? Or the fear that you had to say, you know what? I don't agree with that. It was a sign that you were growing up and thinking for yourself. It's a natural part of life. It's a natural part of being in a relationship with Jesus. As that begins to happen, guess what? You begin to see things differently. You begin to disagree. Your spirit begins to check you. You begin to say, that's not for me. This is what I really see. You begin to speak truth because you're getting over yourself. You're strengthening yourself in your most holy faith. You're building yourself up. You're standing up for yourself. You're not the little boy or the girl anymore who can't hold their own, but now you got your sea legs back under you. You're strong, and now you're walking with one foot in front of the other, and you're doing what God's called you to do, and you don't get tripped up anymore. Why? Because you're being guided by the Holy Spirit, and he's strengthening you in the times where you need strength, and you can speak truth, and you're seeing it for what it is. And it's a great place to be when you don't have to rely on other people to tell you what to do. It's a great place to be. It's a freeing place. So if you're in a place right now where you're waiting for everybody else to give you affirmation, you're going to be waiting a long time. Because some of them don't even like you. Affirm me. I don't even like you, bro. I don't want to talk to you. And we're so waiting on people. And guess what? They're not coming. Because God is too smart to send them. Because he knows once you get them, it's not going to work out. So he keeps them away, and your only source is, well, I guess it's Jesus. Yep. Yep. It's just you and me. Yep. But I thought I needed. Nope. But it's part of growth and maturity when what you think you need, you don't need anymore. And what a beautiful place to be. When you can love someone and release them. Oh.
Because you know that God has a plan for their life, and it's better than your plan. And when you see God's faithfulness, it forces you to trust Him more. It should. It should. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of how many people that God actually saved you from stuff, but later on, you were upset that He did, but you had to reason with yourself, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. But secretly, you don't tell nobody. Because it was for you, and you wouldn't trade this version of you for nothing. Oh, guys, it's such a good place to be at when you don't have to walk in the fear of man. Oh, man, when you can trust in the Lord, you're kept safe. You can stand up, and you know that if God's asking me to stand up in hell, He's with me. If God's asking me to stand up here and speak, He's with me. If I'm in prison and He says speak, He's with me. It doesn't matter, but you have to go through stages with God in order to get there, stages. And God begins to show Himself faithful to you, and all of a sudden puts you in spots. And it doesn't matter what comes or what goes, but you know that you stand on the solid rock, Jesus Christ. What a place to be at when you're in the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they look in, and guess what? There's another guy in there with them. What a place to know that there's a God who walks with you through fire. What a place to know that there's a God who walks with you when the waters are rising up over your head, and He says, peace be still, and they have to subside. What a place to be at when you have a God who is sure in what He does. His foundation is secure. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of His throne. What a place it is when you walk with God and you don't have to regress back into emotional infancy because God has healed you. What a place to be in God where fear doesn't have to have a hold on your life, because who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I can hold my head up high and know that Jesus loves me even if you don't. And I can walk around and be like, thank you, Jesus. When it's all said and done, I'll be walking into glory, and He'll say, well done, because it's going to be well done. Good and faithful servant, I'm walking in, and I'm going to, come on now, what a place to be at. Don't you want to live that way rather than trying to walk around your whole life wondering whether or not people love me or they don't love me? That's the problem we have. I can do without this. Throw it out. I don't need social media. I don't need it. Look at what your priorities are. You can do without certain things. You can do without certain validation. But we get caught in a cycle because of what the world is saying. We got to do it. You don't. There are tools that God has given you, necessary tools to do what He's asked you to do here. Necessary tools. God has placed you on your jobs. Man, come on up. Placed you on your jobs. Placed you in your homes. Already given you the tools and skills you need to be successful. Already. It's a matter of those coming out in the right times and seasons. What is it about your life that you don't feel like you're accessing those resources now? I'm just waiting on God. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting on Him for? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What am I waiting on God for that maybe He already has given me? I'm just not walking in it. Wait, let me give it to you this way, okay? If I'm already married, guess what? He who finds a wife finds a good thing and has found favor from the Lord. Amen. If I got kids, kids are a gift from the Lord. And guess what? I got gifts, they're a heritage. And God also has given me because He found favor. They're a reward from Him. So I got kids, right? I got my wife, I got my kids. I'm walking in vocation, right? So if God's called me in the vocation and He's doing things in my life, then I can be confident. If He saved me, if He raised me up, if He got rid of my old friends, if He brought me through all that He brought me through, if He dealt with me on things that needed to be dealt with in my life, if He gave me a new spirit, and the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead already dwells in me, and He's quickening my mortal body, and He's already given me the relationships that I need to be successful, what else am I waiting on for me to be successful in this life? I get doors that need to be opened. He opens the doors. I get all that. But it doesn't mean that I can't access what He's already given me to do the job that God has already called to do me now, and then all of a sudden, He'll break it open when it needs to break open. Understand what I'm saying? So if I'm already blessed, Let's start walking like I'm blessed. If I'm already forgiven, let's walk like I am forgiven. If you're not forgiven and you don't feel forgiven, that's another thing. But if I'm already where I need to be, and he says that you are right with me, then I can walk with my head held high, and I can do what God's called me to do, no matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter what fear, no matter what situation, no matter what trial, no matter what temptation, because I know that he's with me and that nothing's going to overtake me because I'm an overcomer. I've already seen too much. I've already been through too much. This is just par for the course. This doesn't bother me. And so I know I'm right with Christ. What else matters? What else? What can you do to me? I'll take your life. I'll be with him. But not a lot of people are there. But we've got to get there if you're really going to be free. If it's not your life anyway, there's a place I can get with God. That's Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Oh, don't talk about that. Why? Because that's what trips people up. Fear of the unknown or death makes them hold on to life. Trying to like stave it off. I'm going to stave off elimination. How are you going to stave off elimination? Well, there's appointed once for a man to die. I might as well walk in freedom with my head held high to that day. Rather walk in cowardice and resist it when it comes. If it's going to come, it's going to come. If it's going to come, that's one thing that COVID taught me. One thing that COVID taught me. And Missy, and she would argue with me, you're not wearing your mask. I said, I am not walking around in fear or in bondage. I don't care if I get it. I get it. I get it. And I got it. And one thing that taught me, my life is not my own. And that it was God who stopped what was taking place in the hospital. And God said, not yet. Fix it back up. And here I am now. But one thing it taught me that what can separate me from the love of God? What? 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 Why would I live any other way? I'm not saying being crass, but I'm saying, why? Walk in freedom. Why? So that when I walk and I get to heaven, that he looks at me and says, well done. And that when my life flashes before my eyes and I saw all the opportunities that I spoke in faith, I spoke in boldness, that I walked like he wanted me to walk, that I didn't cower back in fear because of what it was going to take. So be it. That's freedom. That's freedom. What are you going to do to me that God already doesn't have a plan and already know about? Like the saints of old, who were walking in power, love, miracles were happening, signs and wonders. You remember the quote, right? Maria, put the quote up, that last slide. Jesus promised his disciples three things, Sal, that they be completely fearless, absurdly happy, and in constant trouble. What a life. What a life. I'm in trouble, I know. But you can get to a point where you realize, Patrick Henry said it, give me liberty, give me death. There's something about freedom that's priceless. It is sweet to know that a price was paid so that you can be free and loosed, not bound, not bound. So if you feel like, I feel like I'm bound, why? Why? There are some community groups that'll help you out with that. So that you can finally come into agreement with your mind, will, and emotions with what God says about you and experience the freedom and the life that God's called you to live. Because one day, that's your life. When you cross over to eternity, you're not going into bondage, folks. You're going into freedom. Freedom. And experiencing that now is a great feeling. That's a great feeling. For people to know that there are people that have gone before them, they've crossed over into glory, know that they're living their best life. And then that's where you're going. It's a great feeling to know that, what can this world do to me? What can this world do to me? What can this world do to me that God has not already saved me from? And that God can't protect me from? And if God wanted to, he can just pluck me out now. But he says, nah, we got some more stuff to do. Might as well live free. Might as well come out of yourselves. Might as well just say what you got to say, right? Might as well just be bold when the opportunity presents itself, so that when you stand before Jesus, he looks at you and said, man, you had a big mouth, but I liked it. You know, why not do the things that God's called you to do, or speak what God's called you to speak? Because that's why he's placed it there. It's there for a reason. Okay, so for you not to say it or for squelch it, you're not robbing anybody else but you. So let's get to a point where we're free, so we can be the people that God has called us to be, do the things that God has called us to do, and then live for one person's approval, and that's Jesus. Amen.